this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. Jesse Williams, Kristen Connolly, and Anna Hutchinson star in the wickedly fun new horror film, The Cabin in the Woods. From the minds of Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard, the film is about five friends who, on their college break, they travel to a remote, yes, cabin in the woods. Once they get there, well, bad things start to happen. Really, really, really bad things. Now, I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but all I'm going to say is that The Cabin in the Woods does not disappoint. Jesse Williams graduated from Temple University, and he started out as a high school teacher in Philadelphia. From there, he moved up to New York City and began acting in off-Broadway shows and films like Brooklyn's Finest and The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants Part 2. He can currently be seen as a series regular on ABC's Grey's Anatomy. Kristen Connolly went to the Yale School of Drama, and as soon as she graduated, she booked guest star roles on shows like Law & Order, Criminal Intent, Life on Mars, and Nurse Jackie. She also had recurring roles on both Guiding Light and As the World Turns. She also did several productions at Shakespeare in the Park, and then starred as Cordelia in King Lear opposite Sam Waterston and Kelly O'Hara at the New York Public Theater last fall. Finally, Anna Hutchinson. She's a huge star in New Zealand and has appeared in several Disney Channel shows here in the U.S. The three are great in the film, and even if you aren't a fan of horror, like me, I promise you're going to get a really good kick out of it. I talked to the three at this year's South by Southwest Festival about their auditions for the film, the stage combat class they had to take, and their theater backgrounds. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. Don't forget, we also sell some casting director and agent mailing labels and have a bunch of other cool actor services available. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Jesse, Kristen, and Anna.
So I'm curious, when you guys first heard about the film, did you know how complex the script was when you were auditioning for the parts, or was it just like, were you going in, this is the horror movie, and we're doing horror movie? And
our sides, our audition sides were totally fake.
Oh, really?
We had no script. They're not in the movie. Joss wrote them to fuck with us. And just
they're all pretty crazy.
Because they're such good writers, they could just make stuff up in 2 seconds and have us jump around like animals to get the part. So I didn't read the script until after I agreed to do the movie, I don't think.
Yeah, I they sent me the script, I think, in between. Like, they offered me the role and I hadn't read it. I had an inkling of what they were up to because I read one of the later scenes in the movie with Fran. He was already cast. And so I read the scene with him, I guess, to see how... Mm-hmm. If we were able to...
If you'd make a lovely couple.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert, though.
For the scene.
So then I finally got to read the script and I knew it was, like, really special right away. It's just mind-blowing and it's amazing and it's awesome and rare to read something that makes you really want to keep reading and that you really don't know where it's going to go. So it was awesome.
You kind of have a bit of a blind faith if there's a project with Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard. Because their previous things have been so rad, you're kind of like, I think this might be awesome. And you guys didn't have much of an idea going into the film, right? But you kind of knew that it might be good. So, and it is. Because they've done cool stuff before, and I think that that's kind of why I was just like, heck yeah, get me on this bad boy, without even reading it. Because you just, their other stuff's ace.
There are a couple of films that did had a similar go at parodying horror genres like Scary Movie and all that kind of stuff. How difficult was it for you guys not to sort of veer towards that path of overacting in some of those lines, like, you know, when the basement door opened, or when, they're like, we should split up.
Yeah.
Like, to keep that thing as subtle as it was, so that people can still, watch you guys as real people.
I think we just played it as truly as we could. The characters don't know that they're in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Unlike some of those spoofs, like Scary Movie, you know, it is, like, really winking at the camera, and that's not the movie that we were making. So I think what Joss and Drew really did very well with us was to keep us fully invested in the characters and in the world and in the circumstances as they were happening, you know, just taking it as the reality. And I think that it really paid off in the way that our scene sort of juxtaposed with Bradley and Richard's stuff. So
Yeah, it really didn't cross my mind, to be honest, ever with the performance about it coming off spoofy, or and I didn't really see any similarities. I mean, I anticipated that that will be, you know, if we were doing a movie that was about baseball, you'd ask, you know, somebody would ask a question about Moneyball or whatever was of the time, right? So it's totally appropriate, and I understand it. But in the process of rehearsing and developing and spending time with each other, it was able to really feel organic. We were five people who were brought together to go on a trip, yeah. And we were, you know, so we came together on a trip and did that together, and we, you know, we shot it fairly chronologically. And I think it was important that it certainly was to our benefit that we didn't spend time with Richard and Bradley. We didn't go to the control room. We let that be a faceless kind of ominous have an effect on us. Not, we have no relationships with them. It was nice to have. We're responding to the moment when the air gets blown out of the vent in the room. We're not responding to knowing that there's some all-seeing eye or anything like that. So we really tried to play it as organic as possible. So therefore, there was nothing to spoof. What was interesting was watching each other change, right? And so I'm changing, not by my own devices, but I'm watching these guys change. So do I notice to what degree they're changing? Because I'm also being changed. And is that, when she says we should do that, is that her doing that? Or is that odd? Is that out of character? I think there's a point where somebody says something about Kurt, you know, why is he being such a dick? Like, he's not normally this. Or, you know, I'm like, we should split up. It's a great idea. And I mean that. I don't know why, you know? So we got to kind of stay out of the spoof territory, I think.
It feels like almost like you're walking through a funhouse or a fright house, mm-hmm. and things are jumping out. Did you have that physical feeling of it, even though you knew what was coming? Like when the cellar door pops open.
Well, when they blew that cellar door, they blew it early. We had rehearsed it, and they were. And it was really loud, and when we rehearsed it, there was sort of a pause between when I finished speaking and when the door went, and they blew it early when we actually did it, because they were like, we just wanted to see you really scared. I was like, thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm really scared. Congratulations. So, yeah.
Hope you got that take. Yeah. And being in the cellar was... I don't think I ever saw the lights on in the cell. Like, the cell is always dark and creepy, and there's so many options, and your mind also races with how many movies we could make down here. You know, that's a real testament to their creativity, and they could write all those movies in a day. I mean, they wrote this movie in like 3 days. It's offensively talented.
It's genius.
With the ball and that character with his slasher thing, I mean, there's like that so much you could read into his character or that thing. You could
get it's another. So scary.
Which of those options on that screen would have been your most scariest?
I think the ghost could be freaky.
Yeah.
Because that just, it can move. And, you know, that it just, yeah, you don't know where it's coming from and you do what it's going to do. Whereas the little ballerina girl, I would just smash her. I'd just, like, I don't know, I'd probably lose an arm, but she's little and I would take her. But, yeah, there's just so many freaky stuff happening. What's going on in Joss and Drew's mind? Like, how do they...
Into the other person's mouth?
Yeah. That was awesome. There was something, I don't know if we ever saw it come to fruition, but I remember in the cellar, in the back corner, because the cellar was really populated with great stuff. I don't think in the final cut we saw half the stuff, but one of them was this whole, like, medical office with all these, like, old wheelchairs and, like, rusty medical equipment and hooks and, like, spreaders and stirrups and, like, craziness. And I was just like, holy shit, I don't want to be in that film.
I really don't want to be in that film.
That's probably my favorite scene in the movie is when the elevator bay, with the ding, and new monsters come out, and how much blood. It just reminds me of going on set that day and seeing all of these oil drums full of blood. We had so much blood, and we're going for, I think we maybe surpassed the record of most blood.
No, not quite, apparently.
We almost passed The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, take that, Stanley Kubrick.
Clearly more than Grey's Anatomy blood.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm very familiar with being covered in blood all the time. And surprising effect, blood makes it feel really real to you. Like, on that show, I sometimes feel like I'm a doctor. Like, after I finish a scene, I slam the glove down. I saved a life. You know, having been covered in all that blood, if you were covered in blood. Like, after a while, I am really fucking uncomfortable. I am really scared. I want this off me. Yeah, as an effect.
How messy is that? I mean, you've got to keep the blood from take after take. It's all
very
sticky. It's hot.
It's very sticky.
And the color grab.
Specific. Like, they take loads of pictures because the continuity, you know, you can't watch a movie and it's like, oh, she's a cut here, and then the next time it's over there.
Right.
So it's really, you know, and
dry, and it's darker, it's pink, it's staining you, it's not staining you. We're outside, we're in the woods, you get leaves and crap on. I mean, we really are in the woods of Vancouver. It really is 4 a.m. at night. It really has been raining for the last 17 days.
Yeah.
So it's rain alone doesn't make you depressed. Having the shit beaten out of you for 3 months will.
Yeah. But also, you know, it's like if a wound is fresh, it looks different than it does if it's been, you know, if 20 minutes have passed. So there are like all different kinds of things that, and we had such amazing makeup people that did such a great job with it all. And that's pretty scary.
Is this the kind of movie either you would go see if you were in it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's kind of the reason I go to the movies. I mean, we all know we don't go to the theater for everything, right? Some things you're like, I'll see that on DVD. I won't see that at all. I'll wait till that comes out on cable. I'll watch it on a plane, if at all. A lot of my great memories are going to the theater for horror. I mean, that is like the funnest part of showbiz for me as a consumer growing up was the thrill ride, screaming, being frightened. Experiencing it with an audience where other people get frightened, they get the joke. It is really a collaborative kind of community experience, unlike, you know, it's not Masterpiece Theater, I don't need to see that in the theater, you know, but this is something, it's very alive. I would absolutely buy a ticket.
How is the physical aspect of the acting process? I mean, Yale School of Drama doesn't necessarily train you for being beat up by a zombie.
No, well, you know, we had a workshop in zombie fighting. We didn't.
Master class.
We didn't. But we did do a stage combat class, which was pretty cool. So I learned to, like, fire a gun and to, you know, get, like, wrestle and all of that stuff. So it was wonderful. Like, it was so much fun. It was so physical. It was exhausting at times, and it was hard at times. But, you know, it's so much better, I think, than coming home from work and being like, well, I sat at a computer all day. It's like, well, I, like, wrestled around in the mud with a zombie all day. Like, that's pretty awesome. So, it was fantastic.
Speaking of which, when you're out with other actors at the bar, do you now have the greatest story topper of all time to say, oh yeah, well, I made out with a stuffed wolf head?
Yes, and its tongue was sugar-coated. So, yeah, that was a good day. And it's like co-stars, how are you going to line up your next one after that, right? So any other guy, that kind of, I'm doing a show at the moment, and they're like, yeah, he's kind of cute, and I'm like, gotta see Wolfie. So yeah, and there's been a couple of shows that I've done since that one, and people are like, you're not very warm to your co-star. I'm like, Wolfie. Yeah.
See where I've been.
It's gonna be tough.
Not Chris Hemsworth the wolf.
I know, people are like, oh my god, you're gonna make out with Chris, and I'm like, well, Chris who? Wolfie. Yeah. It's cool.
Joss kind of has this kind of staple of actors that he brings back again and again. Have you guys sort of been angling for it to be one of the exclusive members of the Joss Whedon Club?
Do you know what? I feel lucky enough to just be part of one.
Right.
And I know there are so many actors out there who would give all of themselves for just, like, to feature in maybe an ad that he directed or something. So to be in a feature film and one that's, like, all these genre, like, comedies and everything... pretty lucky, eh, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great. We're in one, so if he wants us, he knows how to find us. And it's on top of that, like, his loyalty to his cast, but also the fans' loyalty to the cast that Whedon has chosen in the past is really something cool. I think we're in for a ride that we kind of can't predict what that's like. And Fran's got a little dose of that coming from Dollhouse.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, any kind of anything like that in our business, which is so finicky and turbulent, that's welcome.
Yeah, and it speaks to how much Joss's work has touched people and how much it means to his fans that they are so loyal and that they are so supportive of him and of all of the people that he works with. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Joss is doing Much Ado About Nothing, right? And you all have theater backgrounds. Is that something that guys talked about it all?
Oh, yeah.
Helped you?
Well, Joss and I would geek out about Shakespeare all the time. I did Shakespeare in the Park in New York last summer, and it was, like, you know, just an awesome experience. But, like, you know, any time that it's a Shakespeare thing, I always think of Joss because he just, he loves it. And, you know, he is so smart and he's so knowledgeable about all of it. And it's really, you know, he's a person whose brain I like to pick. I'm like, what do you think about that? What do you think about that role and that line? What do you think? So, yeah.
Yeah, we're just talking. I saw Fran, who's doing theater, speaking of theater in New York right now, and he did Much Ado, and talking about that experience, and it sounds like it was really outstanding. And yeah, Joss is such a student of the process, as much as he is a creator. So he really, no matter what he touches, he certainly treats it with reverence. So that's something that is really a treat for actors.
With the long gap in time from when you guys finished shooting to when it's finally being released, were you guys anxious that it might never get released? Did you, I'm just curious, because it seems like a project that I think as soon as people heard about, were kind of like, why is this not getting released?
Yeah, it is, that confusion, it really was. I mean, it wasn't on the merit. I mean, we knew, I certainly wasn't ever, I couldn't imagine, it couldn't be on the shelf. I mean, it's too unique for that. It's not like anything else, so people are going to see it. But we always knew that it wasn't about the material, it's about just the structure of the business, and that's corporate entities dealing with each other. That's really nothing to do with our creative.
So all you can really do is, I find, as an actor, is just be awesome on the day, have an amazing time, do what your director wants from you and stuff like that, because you never know, once you're wrapped, anything could happen, which stuff did happen. And so we were just lucky that we got little teasers right throughout. Like every now and then we'd meet up with Joss and we'd have chats and stuff, and that was cool. But the shooting itself was just best time ever. And then we got to watch the movie. I got to watch it in October last year, so then you're kind of chomping at the bit a wee bit more and stuff, and that itself was a cool experience. And now it's out and you guys have seen it, and so yeah, it's been actually kind of a cooler process the way that it's gone.
Yeah,
maybe
it really did work out perfectly, and it's perfect that the film is at Lionsgate, and it's perfect that it premiered at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. And it's even if there was a wait, I think it was well worth it. Just this weekend was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.